not all that far, by the way, from Death Valley, have until today or so been hovering around 117 degrees every day. Now, my response to this is multiple. One, I don't live without air conditioning. So I go out and hug my 5-ton air conditioner. And moreover, I've taken the posture that if I can't travel, which I can't in these kind of temperatures, for any number of reasons, including pets and all that sort of stuff, I'm going to ignore the heat. So my posture has been to stay up until well after the sun has come up in the morning, and then like a bat, sleep all day long until about 5 or so in the afternoon, and then awaken to begin my strange nocturnal activities. In other words, I won't have anything to do with it. When it's 117 degrees outside, you can't do anything. I mean, really, you're better off not moving around, not turning on lights, not turning on appliances. In other words, you're better off asleep. Like the astronauts trying to make it back to Earth without enough power in Apollo 13, you know. You're better off just going to sleep. And that's what we've been doing. So I'm rather wide awake. It's really morning for me right now. Morning in my part of America. All right, now, tonight's webcam, you may think you've seen it. It was a picture of our... You know, we have a new kitten in the house, Dusty. Dusty has grown really big. Dusty is now real long. And I had a picture of Dusty up there, but see, another thing happened on the way during the heat. This is an interesting story. I have a radio tower, as you all more than well know, in my backyard, a 100-footer, big one. And at about the 80-foot level of this large tower, some starlings decided, what a cool place to build a nest. It's a great, strong, metallic nest-holding monster. So they built a nest. They labored hard and long and built this nest at 80 feet up on my tower. Oh, that's kind of neat. Why not? I would, too, if I were a starling. Only thing about a tree is, you see, unlike a tree, it doesn't give shade. So when it's 117 degrees, you can imagine the metal on the tower gets warm, really warm. Anyway, these starlings, fortunately, were about, you know, they were ready to leave the nest and fly off and do whatever starlings do, except this one. Must have been the runt of the nest, and it fell from the sky from 80 feet up on my tower, I guess, or flew. Either way, it appeared... This little tiny starling appeared on my wife's chain-link fence just below the tower, sitting there on the chain-link fence, you know, about halfway down, grasping one of the little chain links. And we walked past this little guy, and we said, oh, you know, from the nest. It didn't move. It didn't move. And it just sat there, panting like a starling pants, I guess. And so we went out, came back, and here was this little starling still in the same place. This is now 2 or 3 hours later. Well, obviously this little guy was in shock, really serious shock. He had not moved now for 7 or 8 hours. And Ramona looks at me, and I look at Ramona, and we say, oh, brother. So I said, it was about midnight now. It's about midnight now. And I said, Ramona, and she said to me about the same time, we got to do it. So she went and bought at midnight, you can do that here in Nevada, a bird cage. And Ramona went out with her gloves and captured, I mean, you could walk right up to him, he didn't care, or her, we still don't know, of course, and got this little tiny, tiny waif of a bird that was obviously, well, if the sun had come up, this bird would have been dead within 2 hours. But what did we do? We interfered with nature. And for 3 days, this starling resided in its little cage in our garage, which is air-conditioned, comfortable. And Ramona started to try to feed it. Well, she's fed it worms, regular worms, Didn't like those too much. And then mealyworms. Those it has a great appetite for, as well as making up this mash, which is made from bird seed, which you put in a pepper grinder and grind up and then put egg yolk in. And oh, it's quite a procedure. So anyway, 3 days later, we bring little snarling deer, which we have named Tower, into the house of four cats. Four cats. Now, that might not be the smartest thing that anybody ever did. But with the aid of a squirt gun, I mean, you can see in a cat's eyes when it has intentions, dire intentions. You can see its little studied, alert nose and back end begin to wiggle a little bit. You know when a cat has something in its sights, right? So we hit them with a squirt gun. And they, of course, don't know you've done it, so it's pretty cool because they think it was water from God. And they just jump about 6 feet high and run into the other room. And then pretty soon, after enough shots, they're not thinking about the bird anymore. They're thinking about shots of water from God. So anyway, that's where we are now. The animal people, four cats, and one now rapidly growing, extremely noisy starling. And by the way, I would like to thank the people at www.starling.info. INFO. If you ever get a baby bird and it's a starling, that's the place to go to begin to learn how to even think about taking care of a bee. This thing now, it not only did it come out of shock, but now it's the happiest bird alive, flying all over the nest, just making noise, recognizing people, being social, even perhaps liking the cats. I don't know. But it's happy. So that's what's been going on in the Bell household during my absence to get away. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. All right. World news very quickly, then we'll pause and give you the real news. British police arrested a third man in connection with last week's failed attack against London's transit system, said Sunday they're going to try to penetrate what they suspect is probably an Al-Qaeda network behind the whole thing. At Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, where the big attack occurred, the bombers, who carried out Egypt's worst-ever terrorist attack, appeared to have entered the Red Sea resort in pickup trucks, they now know, with loaded explosives that were hidden under some vegetables. NASA plans to launch the first space shuttle flight in 2.5 years, even if it's plagued by the very same fuel gauge that stopped it, what, last week? So they go no matter what. That's very unlike NASA, isn't it? 22 dead in a suicide bomber attack in Baghdad. NBC is in some trouble, apparently. The executive vows that there is going to be a season of rebuilding at NBC. Suffering low ratings, fourth place, I guess. And while I'm on the subject of the vast wasteland, there are two programs that I would like to recommend to you, very seriously recommend to you. One I have already recommended in the past. It's called Medium. It's on Monday nights at 9 o'clock on NBC, the fourth network, and it's a really good show. Yes, I would like to interview the real young lady who, the real medium, who lives in Phoenix and assists the DA or ADA. And it's a tremendous show. It's so unaffected. The other show is House. Oh my God. What I did was I have a DVR, so I captured the entire season of House. Didn't watch it. And then about 2 weeks ago, I discovered House. Oh my God, what a good show. Hugh, is it Laurie? Hugh Laurie is the doctor, and I don't think I've ever seen better character acting. It is really good. Gotta be a real piece of that man in that show because he just does it too well. House, start watching it. Fox, Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Boy, is that a good series. All right, Lance, 7. times, seven times the Tour de France. That's incredible. Again, the victorious run through the arch in Paris, and boy, you got to give it to him. I watched the programs on TV that showed how Lance actually did it. And he did it with the assistance of a network who sort of looked at every piece of his, you know, his helmet, every part of his body, air resistance, and all the rest of that. And Discovery Channel really helped him out in that regard. And it obviously paid off, as he apparently came in first by about 5 minutes. We'll be right back. So much time has gone by, there really are quite a number of things that I wish to talk to you about, and this is at the top of the list tonight. The oceans are warmer than they ought to be. You may have watched the Weather Channel or some of the coverage of the latest hurricane that we had, but they were all in exclamation about how hot the ocean was, what a terrible hurricane season it was going to be. This story from Gannett in New Jersey. In Dave Kaplan's 44 years as a Bradley Beach lifeguard, this is the earliest he's ever seen the ocean so warm by a long margin. Quote, I take the water temperatures every day, said Kaplan Wednesday. Well, last week it's been the warmest I ever can recall. The warm ocean waters with temperatures ranging, averaging, get this, 5 to 8 degrees above normal are linked to the warm, stagnant weather in recent days and the lack of upswelling at cooler bottom waters in recent weeks, according to the experts. Air temperatures are in the 80s and 90s. They were expected again in Mammoth and Ocean counties today, according to forecasts by the National Weather Service's Mount Holly office. The warmth with sunny skies is likely to warm surface waters even more. The warm waters have led to improved fluke fishing, believe it or not. Figures it'd be a fluke, right? The early arrival of tropical species like Spanish mackerel and the potential for hurricanes heading up the coast to retain more of their energy and, I suppose, be more fierce. Anyway, this kind of goes together with a lot of things we've been saying for a long time now. In addition to this, I got an email from somebody who watches, you know, New York City news, and I think one of the premier weather forecasters there on one of the big stations in New York. I received information from buoys that said the water was in the 80s. I mean, way, way above where it ought to be. And he simply said, you know, I don't believe it. And I believe an offer was made for him to check it out for himself, which he, I understand, declined. But the fact of the matter is, something is definitely going on with ocean temperatures right now. It's going to affect the world's weather. It's affecting our weather. It will affect all weather. The ocean has so much of an effect on our climate that even a small variation in what's going on with regard to ocean temperatures and, of course, those all-important currents will have a magnifying effect on the entire environment. And you wouldn't believe how small the margin of life is on Earth. And by margin, I mean we live within a certain temperature range of things happening. And if that were just to be altered a few degrees one way or the other, we might not be here. Scientists are gaining insight, following comes from CNN.com, insight about December's devastating earthquake and tsunami from the actual sounds. They got the actual sounds of the 9.3 quake in the Indian Ocean. It's really quite an eerie sound to hear the earth ripping apart like that. We hear it on smaller earthquakes quite frequently, but something of this scale that just goes on for 8 minutes or more is very unprecedented, according to Maya Tolstoy, a marine geophysicist at Columbia University's Lamont Daugherty Earth Observatory, said she, "It gave me the chills when I first heard it." The dramatic soundtrack of the rupture of the Sumatra-Andaman Fault comes from a little-known, sometimes hard-to-access resource. The microphones that capture the sound are simply part of a global network of instruments that monitor the entire world for compliance with the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. In other words, they're listening for nuclear explosions. But they caught this monster quake, and they describe it as a ripping and tearing sound of the very earth itself. Now, I would solicit anybody's help here who happens to have this, hopefully an MPEG-3, MP3, or whatever of this. I would very much like to hear the sound of the earth ripping apart, and if I could lay my little paws upon it, you would hear it too. That's got to be a very unusual sound. Again, she refers to it as the earth literally tearing apart for 8 minutes. I wonder what that sounded like. Enough to raise the hair on the back of that young scientist's neck. Santa Barbara. Scientists are puzzled by a mysterious Los Padres National Forest hotspot, get this, where 400-degree ground ignited a wildfire. Now, that's a different one, isn't it? Normally, wildfires are ignited by, for example, the lightning we had here yesterday morning. We had one of those whiz-bang. If you happen to be asleep at about 6:30 in the morning when a bolt ignited about, I don't know, a third of a mile away or less, you know, when normally when lightning goes, I try to be semi-scientific and go out and count 1,001, 1,002, you know, after the light. And I said 1,000, boom! I didn't even get the 1,001 out. So normally you would expect lightning to ignite a fire that way, and sure enough, a lot of them have ignited in the mountains around me. But this is a hole in the ground with 400-degree temperatures. The hotspot was discovered by fire crews putting out a 3-acre fire last summer in the forest Dick Smith Wilderness. They saw fissures in the ground where they could feel a lot of heat coming out. That's a quote from a Los Padres geologist, Alan King. He said, "It's not characteristic at all of a normal fire." Fire investigators went back to the canyon days later and stuck a candy thermometer into the ground. It hit the top of the scale at 400 degrees. A dozen scientists, including University of California Santa Barbara mineralogist Jim Bowles, have been looking for answers since August. Robert Mariner of the U.S. Geological Survey, a hydrologist who studies volcanic gas vents at Mount Shasta and Mount Hood and Mount Rainier, also called in. Everybody's puzzled. He said, "When I heard about the candy thermometer, I was amazed, noting that the temperature of the volcanic vents that he studies is typically, about 200 degrees around the boiling point of water. I thought these guys were yanking on my leg." With the help of a air reconnaissance flight and a thermal infrared imaging, scientists found the hotspot actually covers about 3 acres, the 3 acres that were on fire. The hottest spot was 11 feet underground at 584 degrees. Huh. They found no oil, no gas deposits or vents nearby, no significant deposits of coal. The Geiger counter readings were normal for radioactivity, and there was no evidence of any explosion or volcanic activity. Now, they speculate that one explanation being studied, and it is speculation, is that an earthquake fault just might be the source of the heat, but it's hard to imagine how an earthquake fault would, you know, generate temperatures of that in that realm. All right, Well, apparently the sound already of the earthquake has been on the show. I guess they had may have had it last week, somebody said, and I'm getting links to it, so I'm obviously going to be able to get it. I'm looking forward to that. Can you imagine the sound of the earth ripping apart? Michael Pitcher saw the storm rolling into Clearwater Beach Saturday evening. Heavy rain fell, lightning quivered from the clouds. Pitcher and his girlfriend sought safety under a pier. They looked into the water, and what did they see but about 20 swimmers? All those people on the water. Someone's going to get struck by lightning, Pitcher said. The words had barely left his mouth, kind of like trying to say 1001, and there was an incredible crack. A lightning bolt struck the beach, knocking three people unconscious. Fourth person, a pregnant woman, good Lord, also hit by lightning. But she remained conscious. Two people suffered critical injuries, were taken to Morton Plant Hospital. Two others with serious injuries were taken to Bayfront Medical Center and Largo Medical Center. The names and conditions of those were not available Saturday night. All appeared young, maybe in their early 20s. You're not too bright in your early 20s. It was unclear if the victims were at the beach together. So anyway, Pitcher and his girlfriend said they saw a man standing in the water that wasn't even waist high. This guy took a direct hit. The lightning hit. The bolt hit his head. The bolt flickered for about 3 seconds. A man's arms went up in the air, and the electricity lifted him out of the water, said Pitcher. When the bolt disappeared, he dropped back in the water and sank. It sucked him right out of the water, said Pitcher. A hospice nurse from Port Richey said the lightning stopped and it dropped him. I couldn't believe it. So a lot of people saw this happen. He was lifted out of the air by the lightning that hit his head. Remember, he's standing in salt water. So anyway, it didn't look too good for that man. Apparently, he was turning blue. As they took him off, he was turning blue and was absolutely a mess, as you might imagine. But I guess still alive, and everybody wished him well. But in you would think that they'd know enough after something like this had just happened, right? To get the hell out of the water. But no, as the 911 guys, the emergency responders, were hauling the blackened bodies away, with lightning still going off all around, even as emergency crews assisted, they were back in the water again. They. Who are they? They are people who. It's a good society we have now that generally protects those who might be doing things that aren't too bright. But not in all cases. So I don't know. You've got a lightning storm going on. You've got nearby crashes, and you wade right back into the water, not just one, but many. Perhaps this is people trying to assist the ongoing process. I don't know. This is a rumor from a listener, but it looks like it's based. There are several links here I didn't have a chance to follow, but there's a team together, and they've got an exploration pass for Turkey. They're going to melt down to Noah's Ark somewhere between now and August 15th, after locating the main portion of the ship with an elaborate arc imaging scanner. And then they list some links here. So there may be something quietly going on with regard to the Ark right now. Somebody actually trying to melt their way down to it. Tommy Thompson's going to sign up with VeriChip. He's going to get a chip, he says, as soon as enough hospitals get the scanning equipment to make it realistic. He will go and get a chip implanted in him, as animals have done. And now, as human beings are going to be urged to do. Are you going to get a chip implanted? VeriChip company has been doing it. I have a feeling a number of my listeners probably would not go the chip route. However, I guess that you'll be able to do many things now. Right now, the chip will carry your medical information. So, if lightning lifts you out of the waist-high seawater, they'll be able to quickly scan your medical records and know everything that needs to be known about you to treat you properly and possibly keep you alive. So why not get the chip? It's a pretty strong argument, right? But we all know that it might be the sign of what? Might be a sign of the beast. Or maybe not. Maybe it's only one chip. Certainly not a chip that would dispense your hospital records, would also be connected with, you know, him. Right? To the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
This is a chip-free zone here.
A chip-free zone. So you wouldn't go for a chip, huh?
No, thank you. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I'm glad to hear your voice again, sir. I was beginning to get worried about you.
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, I knew you would. I look at this, Stephen, in Columbus, Georgia, your old pyrotechnics buddy.
Yes.
Just want to know how your show in Pahrump went.
How my show in Pahrump went?
Went, yes.
Which show is that?
Your annual 4th of July show.
Oh,
fireworks.
Our fireworks. It was incredible. Every year, Little Pahrump, and we are still little compared to cities around us, puts on the biggest display in the state of Nevada. I mean, we dwarf everything else. So how cool was it? I don't know. How cool was, I think it was 8,000 shells in 3 minutes at the very
end. Wow. Was that your finale or what?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the finale, and it was kick butt.
Well, I understand your fire marshal does it for you there.
That's right. People come from long way around now to see the fireworks display.
Well, your choreography and your music coming from your station is getting well known.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Yes, we do the choreography for the display, and it's awesome. Every year they double it. Now, we all wonder, how do they do that? Where do they get all the money? We're Little Pahrump. How do we? Yes, we have fireworks stores here in Pahrump because it's Nevada. You know, and we have brothels. We have fireworks stores. We have gambling machines. It's a different kind of environment that we live in here in the desert, one that I prefer. A lot of people who have the kind of philosophy I have live out in this part of the country for that very reason. There's a lot of freedom out here. Anyway, somehow, every year, they double the size of our fireworks display. Now, that cannot continue, or soon we will be having a planet-threatening fireworks display. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
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 This is Douglas, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that hot spot out west.
Oh, the one that started the fire, yes.
Right. And I don't know, this might sound a little ridiculous, but I was thinking that those giant tunnels that they're constructing underground.
Yes.
I think they had one of those plasma machines down there.
Well, now you're getting pretty far out on a limb, partner.
Okay, but...
See, I was going to suggest it was one of the devil's fingers.
No.
Just sticking up, you know?
But I think something happened and it might have backfired or whatever, but...
technology gone wrong, ripping the earth apart.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But I, it just seemed like it was so far underground and generating that kind of heat that I thought maybe they were trying to bore a tunnel.
This is why I'm dying of curiosity about the inner earth. It's one of my favorite topics, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, what the hell's down there?
I don't know.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and
take
care. It really is fascinating. What is down there? Our very own Earth. We've done more exploration of outer space than we have of, you know, down there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Hey, wonderful to be on the air. I've been a fan for 12 years, and you've been a great friendly voice in the night.
Good to have you.
Well, I've been waiting for a good excuse to call, and I couldn't believe your Starling story. I am, first of all, congratulations on Tower. I'd like to welcome him to the world.
Yeah, with four cats. It's a world with four cats, sir. It's not a cat-friendly house.
If I could give you some advice, I am a wildlife rehabilitator here in California, and I'm actually the Starling Species Manager.
No kidding. Well, we sure could have used you about a week ago now.
Well, I tell you, I heard what you were feeding him, and really quickly, they are... more than almost any other bird you'll find, they require animal protein.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the biggest problems...
Also, they're really hungry. We're talking like
voracious.
5 or 6 times a day, and we're talking 9 worms at a time.
Okay, a couple things. Honestly, at this age, you probably want to be feeding them no later than every hour. Probably starting at, luckily not all day, probably like in a 12-hour stretch, maybe from 9 in the morning till 9 at night.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go too heavy on the mealworms. We're starting to find in the rehabilitation community that mealworms, it's either something with the chitinous skin or their fat content, that they're okay in small quantities. What you really never want to feed them is earthworms or redworms. They're toxic.
We tried earthworms. It didn't work. Anyway.
That's good. He's spitting them out because he knows they're bad.
Yeah, so that's right.
Don't try that.
Yep.
The easiest way to do this is with a syringe. You want to take just dog food like Iams or something and hard-boiled eggs, put it all in a blender. You can go to a...
We were using egg yolks and she was hard-boiling eggs and then putting it together with this mash that we made out of birdseed.
Yeah, now that's where you really want to stop you there. Birdseed will, in the long run, kill these birds. They're not seed eaters. And they
really?
Don't have a... They actually don't have a crop like a lot of your birds.
We did feed it a couple of bugs, and it liked that.
That's what they eat in the wild. Stomach content studies done in the wild has shown that 95% of what these birds eat is winged insects, your mosquito hawks and moths.
I'm drawing the line there.
Well, no, and you absolutely don't want to feed them that as a pet because they'll refuse anything else.
No, I mean going out to gather it. I'm not going out, nor is Ramona, to gather bugs.
No, absolutely. I
absolutely draw the line.
If I could just really quickly tell you, they make, properly taken care of, they make excellent pets. They're very smart. And at the age you got him, he won't be releasable. He thinks he is now a person that can fly. And he will learn, they're a mockingbird, they're in the mockingbird family, and they will learn whole sentences.
What?
Just like a parrot.
He is talking, he or her, is, by the way, I've got a picture up, my webcam picture, is of Tower, about 3 or 4 days after we got Tower, well, no, more than that even. So take a look and decide.
Does he still have the little kind of Don King tufts on his head?
Don King.
Does he have like these kind of flyaway feathers on the top of his head?
I don't know about
that. Okay, well, you know what I was talking about if you don't.
Don King feathers.
From what I've heard, he sounds like he's still like just finishing his pre-fledged stage.
Yeah.
And he has now imprinted on you. He will last up to 20 years. The best way to feed them is just with baby food, like lamb or beef Gerber baby food.
Baby food.
They love that, and it provides the protein content they need.
Gerber baby food.
Yeah, a healthy starling is really one of the healthiest birds you can
own. All right, do me a favor. A lot of people are going to be going, oh, come on. So send me an email. Include all of this and more, if you would, please. All right?
About the cats, you'll want to keep them away because they'll learn to associate...
Duh. You think they would eat a Tower? I mean, in a second, in a New York or Nevada second, that'd be that. So thank you very much, and I'll look forward to getting an email from you and or any of the rest of you, by the way. I'm Art Bell at AOL.com or Art Bell at Mindspring.com. That's where I'm squarely. This bird does seem to enjoy the mealyworms. So it's going to be hard, very hard to break it of that. Really likes the mealyworms. And we do have to go by what it seems to like, you know, and anyway, it's been quite a job, mainly taken on by Ramona, and she's been up there like 6 times, 8 times a day, feeding it a lot of times a day. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Captain Spike Mike with the Fantastic Forum.
Hey.
Buddy, I really appreciate your kind words about Lance Armstrong. I think the American media is really overlooking this guy.
Did you see the network coverage of the scientific work that they did on him to achieve, you know, begin to slice seconds off with aerodynamic changes in the helmet and the what he wears and every little tiny aspect, everything. The bike Discovery Channel did it.
And he went and took his VO2 max test, which is a volume by oxygen.
You did see it.
Yes.
Okay.
He rated the highest ever scored at that clinic.
Kind of like a Superman or something.
The last time an American presence in France had this much influence, they called it World War II.
Yeah, 7 in a row. And he will absolutely retire on top of his game.
Art, you're never going to see a man do something like this again in your lifetime, my lifetime, and maybe our kids.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's an incredible, thank you very much, an incredible achievement. No question about it. And those of you who did not see the Discovery footage of, you know, how they helped him out, how the scientists went to work on every little tiny aspect of Lance Armstrong, his bike, every little nut and bolt, everything was aerodynamically checked in wind chambers and all the rest of it, and they're shaving seconds off what will be his total performance. It was totally awesome. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Hurt. My friend's father just passed away recently.
Sorry to hear it.
And during the process of her and me helping her clean out his house, I came across some very graphic pictures of him and her at a very young age. I'm talking maybe 4 or 5 years old. And she's never mentioned any incident like this, you know, to me or anyone. I'm not even sure she knows. I don't know what to do with these pictures. And I'm talking, they're very sexually graphic.
Ma, that's an easy answer. You go to the police. If you have questions about somebody's behavior in that regard, you don't keep it to yourself. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
It's Rena from Miami.
Okay, extinguish your radio, my dear.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
I'm a little bit, like, worried. I don't know if you've heard. I noticed that you didn't mention it, about a sandstorm that is going to hit this area in Florida.
In Florida? A sandstorm?
Yes. It's from the Sahara, and it even might affect people with respiratory, you know, ailments, and you know, and I was just wondering, because I know that you're on top of all of these things. And,
well,
you know,
we were hit with a sandstorm here, hon, from Asia, from Mongolia, and it turned our skies yellow, and it didn't make the national press. I mean, all of the skies of Las Vegas and all of Southern Nevada, and for all I know, a lot more, turned yellow.
Oh my God.
Because we had a sandstorm from Mongolia. So these things do happen more and more lately.
You think so? Yeah, I know how you feel about the, you know, weather changes.
Yes, I think they're well underway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's supposed to hit tomorrow.
How do you feel about living in Florida now, knowing almost, I mean, could you almost be sure it's going to be a continual march of hurricanes this year as the season progresses?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned. Due to the fact, in a way, because my father was from the Canary Islands. So I've heard you say or mention that the Canary Islands are supposed to be causing maybe some kind of a wave or something to our area as well. And all of these weird things happening with our weather here.